Well, let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can cry out to you. You're the one who created us. You understand us. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So as we go to the book of Proverbs today that cries out to us to walk in wisdom, to have a reverence for you, help us, Lord, to lay aside everything. Lord, help us to lay aside our own willfulness to see life from our own perspective. But Lord, help us to cling to your perspective. Help us, Lord, to trust in you with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge you that you make our path straight. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Today, we'll be talking about the pitfalls of immorality. The Apostle Paul, when he was passing through Ephesus, that town was a wicked place. I mean, it was the temple of Diana, Artemis, the fertility cult that was the way they worshipped in the ancient world. And he had some tough words to say to them. You know, he said, you could easily say, well, you know, you can kind of mix both of those, you know. God is love and things like that. But no, he told them, here's how to live. In fact, this is what he would say in the book of Ephesians to them. Live a life filled with love. This is 5:2-4. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place amongst God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, be thankful to God. Sometimes you just got to say it as it is. It says to the book of Ephesians, to the Ephesus church, that had all grown up worshiping sexuality. If you want to see something weird, look at an idol of Artemis. Don't Google that right now, you know, pay attention. In fact, don't Google it later. Who knows where it'll lead you, you know. But today, it's important to bring the whole counsel of God. One of the major themes of Proverbs is the fact is this, is God is crying out, the wisdom of God crying out in the streets of how we should live. But also, it says, folly is crying out, or wickedness is calling out. Oh, here it paints it as the harlot is crying out, come my way. So the Lord is saying, come my way, and there's another voice saying, no, don't do that. Well, that's the voice that was from the beginning. That was a voice that told Adam and Eve, nah, God's a liar. It won't impact you to eat that piece of fruit, even though God said, don't do it. What does God know? And that's really where it all began, is the question, well, what does God know? It's my life. I can do whatever I want. And we look at the world and we see where that got the world. So today, in the moments I have left, this is really could be 15 sermons. And we had a lot of things as far as worship and seeing the wonderful miracle what happened at camp. And so in the moments left, before we have communion, I want to briefly touch on this extremely important concept. Our bodies belong to God. Your body belongs to God. Period. He bought it with a price. He created it. So So whether you're, you know, whether you're a young person alone in a car and someone says, hey, we ought to do this. No, your body belongs to God. Whether you're a middle-aged person and you're lonely and whatever, and some voice says, hey, you ought to go to this website or go to this place and do that. No, your body belongs to God. It's a God thing. And whenever our lives or whatever we're dealing with becomes not a God thing, then we get in trouble. He's the king, and you are not. I came to Christ in a park in Ukiah back in the early 70s. The choir was singing about Jesus, and somebody came up to me with a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. It says this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But law two is, a man is sinful and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. Law three is that God made a remedy. Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again. He dealt with the issue of sin. Law four is, it's not enough to know that. You've got to individually do something about it. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. And there are people who have attacked the four spiritual laws. Well, you shouldn't start that God loves you. Well, you know, God does love you. So, I mean, there's a lot of Bible verses about that, right? God created. God created for the purpose of love. But mankind decided, you know what? I think I got a better idea. And today, every one of us is battling with this concept that we somehow think we have a better idea with God in relates to our body, our soul, and our spirit. So for the time that I have left, let me just read. I don't usually read a whole chapter of the Bible, but I'm going to read this, and it's going to put it in perspective. Remember, this is written, you know, 3,000 years ago by a father writing it to his kid. So this is the advice, and here's how it goes. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them in the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from the adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Now, that same concept as to the instruction could be added at the back, at the end of this, and we'll get to that. But let's read this. For at the window of my house, this is the father speaking, I looked out through the latticework, and I saw among the naive, or the simpletons. I discerned among the youth, passing through the streets near her house, he takes the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious, her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, lurks in every corner. She seizes him, kisses him. With a brazen face, she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you, and have spread my couch with coverings and my covering linens of Egypt, and I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves in each other's caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. A full moon he will come home. And with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in the fetters of the discipline of a fool. Until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. I could just stop right now. The Word of God is powerful. It tells me here in this passage that what we believe that we have the right to do with our body, sexually, must be given over to God. So we want to look at this. Here's a couple of verses, very importantly. It says, do not love the world. This is in John. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away, and its lust thereof. But whoever does the will of God, the Father in heaven will abide forever. Tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 2-4, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. So the fact is that how we are to treat our body in sanctification and honor is not a natural thing. The natural thing is do whatever you want. It's your body. You call the shots. And if your parents or some kind of moray that says no, you shouldn't do that, then those people are puritanical or square or whatever they are, you know. Well, that was the olden days and not today. Well, how's that going? We live in a world today where divorce is rampant. Sexual transmitted disease and abortion. The world's a mess. And I believe it's a mess, and the Bible would say, because mankind has continually said, I don't have to do what God tells me to do. And if you want to live that way, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, you might have life and have it abundantly. Friends, this passage is going to help us. This passage is going to help us live lives that are safer and more powerful and more blessed, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless our life, body, soul, and spirit. So there's four things briefly I want to look at here. I want to focus on the last one the most, which is the instructional part. But here's some things it tells me. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through the lattice. So now this is Solomon looking down through the lattice work of his palace. And I saw among the naive or simpletons, I discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. So first of all, it starts with the characteristic, I believe, here of the young. But ultimately it's the characteristic, if you read Proverbs, of everybody. That we are simpletons. We're naive. We're naive as to the implications of not following the Lord. Adam and Eve, we don't know how old they were when they sinned in the garden, but they were naive, weren't they? So the issue is this, is that I don't believe being naive or simple is necessarily a sin. But we're warned about it. You know, if you've never... You know, there's something about maturity, and the Apostle Paul says to people, hey, listen, I want you to become mature and grow. I've known people that are in their 70s, they're still acting like they're 14. Now, if you're 14 here, that's great, because that's what you are. But there are things, the wisdom that I had at 14 may not, hopefully I have greater wisdom at 62. But I know people that they have never grown up. They're still simpletons. They're naive as to the ways of the world. The simple, like all mankind, are inclined towards evil and not towards what is good and righteous. And the Lord has said, hey, follow me, that your path may be made straight. Now, you know, we could have a question and answer time where people come up and share their examples. Hey, here's what happened into my life because I told God, hey, forget it, I'm going to do whatever I want. And we'd have example after example of just train wrecks. So we're warned here, first of all, the warning is that the condition of your soul, if you want to remain a simpleton or a naive person, then you're going to get in trouble, right? And so we got to seek wisdom from the Lord and from wise people. So the first is the issue of the simpleton. Then we want to look at the seduction. And the issue of seduction can't only be blamed on the seductress, right? Because here, look what happens. For I looked out the window, I saw the naive passing through the street near her corner. He takes the way to her house. See, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Purposely, the wrong place at the wrong time. Friends, here's the thing. Everyone look here. There are some places you should not go. Body, soul, and spirit. You know that. There's television shows you shouldn't be watching. They're just going to pollute your mind, pollute your soul. You're going to have images in your mind. You don't need them there. There's places we should not go. Amen? Isn't that what we tell our children? You know, we don't live in the big city, but if you lived in the Bay Area, you may warn your kids, hey, you probably don't want to walk, you know, watch out walking down that street. So we see here this seduction is both something that the simpleton is either unaware of or he could care less. It's just something enticing to him. But then we see that he falls into a fact where there's someone actually seeking him. Now, I have up in my office, and I was going to bring them, but they're too small. I'm a fly fisherman, and I make flies, and my favorite fly around here is a fly called the woolly booger, okay? Anyone ever use the woolly booger? All right, so, and the reason why is because it just looks like something juicy for the fish. Now, here's the thing. Fishing would not be any fun if you didn't catch any fish, except for fly fishing, because you get to get some exercise, you know? Right? But here's the thing. There's a place called Blue Slide Lake. And when I go to Blue Slide Lake, which is, you have to hike a mile down up, it's on the other side by a snow mountain. And I have a fishing competition with my brothers. And the last time my brother, he won the competition, 120 fish out of a float tube. All right. And I think I got only 90, you know. So basically, you're throwing the woolly bugger right into the corner of the reeds, and you know, you're going to catch a fish every time. Now, the only reason why it works is because the fish can be enticed. They may not even be hungry. And there's something. They're going to snap at it. That's just how these fish are. If you want to go fishing on Clear Lake, my recommendation, hey, hire a guide. Why? Because if you hire a guide, then he's going to take you where the fish are, and he knows they're an expert on enticing the fish. Hey, this lure's not working today. We'll try this one. A little bit cloudy, we'll do this. You know what? The enemy is an expert on enticing you. You individually, right? So be careful. Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the Lord. If you wander far from the Lord, then you're wandering far from your security, right? So we know this, is that she entices. In fact, she flatters with her lips. And it says this in verse 21, with pervasive words, she led him astray and seduced him. Hey, my husband's gone. He's brought a lot of money. He won't be back until the full moon. Let's come and hang out. Drink our fill of love until morning. Friends, we have to understand that the devil wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy our marriages. He wants to destroy our own sense of holiness and our own sense of being right with him. He wants us to feel separated and weak. He wants us to feel guilty. And so he will entice us. He knows exactly what lure will work for you. He's got a large tackle box. All right? And he's very patient. Oh, darn it, that person now turned 60. I guess you can't be tempted anymore. Well, you know, that's not how it works. Every generation, every age group has different temptations, right? Ever heard of a midlife crisis? I've known people who've been in a midlife crisis since they were 40 and they're 90 now, right? All right. So the issue, first of all, is understand the simpleton, that we are, in fact, all simpletons. And we need to cry out for God for wisdom. Lord, how should I live? How can I be safe? And then we realize that there is a seductress. And we can be foolish as to, well, gee, I wonder how close to the edge I can get and not fall off. If you were a parent or a grandparent, wouldn't you tell your kids, hey, stay far from the edge? You're up on El Capitan, you know? Hey, let me see how far I can get to this deadly. No, you stay far back. If you saw someone balancing, walking on the rail on the Golden Gate Bridge, you go, wow, that person's being foolish. Here's the scary part. Some of you are walking on that rail right now. I didn't read your mail. I just know it's happening. You're walking on the rail. And the Lord says, man, get off. Stay back. So we have the simpleton, the seductress. Now we want to look at the... I want to read first Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Please, one who sows... to please the sinful nature, from that nature they'll reap destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So if you're sowing into your life things that are just not right, they're unholy, that's not going to be good. That's what's going to grow up in your life. Here's what I'm going to tell you now. This is what God told me. He wants to bless your life. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. All right. So let's look now at, well, I'm not going to talk about the destruction part because it's right there. He says, as an ox to the slaughter, he does not know it will cost him his life. Friends, you don't own your body. God does. Defer to his wisdom. Defer to his will regarding your body. The Bible says, the only proper use of sex is in marriage. That's what it says. Yeah, oh man, what planet were you born on, Pastor? I said, well, I'm planet Earth, just like you. And I didn't write the Bible, God did. And that's what it says. Period. I don't know. I mean, sounds narrow my well. Boy, if I told that to my friends, they'd laugh at me. Well, so what? What do you want? You want a blessed life, or you want a life that's going to be shipwrecked? So that's what the Bible says. All right. So here's the instruction. He says this. Therefore, my son, verse 24, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims that she cast down, and numerous are her slain. Her house is the way of Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. All right, so there's many things that as we read through the book of Proverbs, just read it and say, okay, Lord, I want to grow in wisdom as it relates to the use of my body. Lord, I believe you want to bless me. You created me, so I'm going to do your thing. So part of it is, for the sake of time, I want to jump to a couple verses. First of all, there are some great examples in the Scriptures, I think, of those who have lived holy lives in the midst of difficult temptations. One was Joseph, great example. Next is Daniel, who basically told himself, hey, I'm not going to soil myself like the world. And then Jesus himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. He provides the way of escape. So here's one of the things you do. As you know that you can't, unless you gouge your eyes out and cut your ears off, you're going to be in a world that's crying out, do this, feel this, you owe it to yourself. We have to submit all of those things to the Lord. Lord, please protect me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. God's going to help you. But here we know that he will provide a way of escape. So Lord, please make that way of escape obvious to me. In Romans chapter 13, verses 13 to 14, I love this passage. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousings or drunkenness or sexual promiscuity nor sensuality, and not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh regarding to its lust. Now, we're going to prepare for this time table of communion. It says, here's how not to live, right? Sensuality, carousing, drunkenness. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on his character, and make no provision for the flesh regarding his lust. That means the example is of provisioning yourself for a camping trip. You're going to go up the family camp, or you're going to go camping wherever, or you're going to take your RV someplace, or you're going to sail on a ship. You're provisioning, oh, I'm going to bring some hot dogs and some buns, and we're going to bring some water and stuff like that. It says, when you're provisioning your life, don't do anything that feeds the sensual flesh. That means there's some television shows that some of you need to decide, well, I'm not watching that anymore because there's nakedness in it. Or every other word, some foul cuss word. You just have to say, you have the power to do it through the Holy Spirit. You just say, no, I'm not doing that. If you're tempted to do it, then have some people help you and pray for you. Hey, I'm tempted to watch, you know, Game of Thrones. I watched it one time. I said, nope, can't watch this show. That woman got naked. Right? I made a vow to my wife 41 years ago. And watching that show does not help that vow. Watching that show does not help me to be a better dad or a better pastor. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You can do whatever you want, but not really. Right? I'm just telling you. If you think you can do whatever you want with your body, soul, and spirit, you're probably not a Christian. You're probably not a believer. That's about as strong as it gets. Because the Spirit of God will cry out and say, hey, don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't hear that. Why? Because he wants to bless your life. He wants to be clothed in Jesus that you may be blessed. Now, if that was all easy and we could just write a letter saying, okay, don't do this, we'd be fine. But the Bible says all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'd like the men to come now and help me serve this communion. Because here's what the Bible also says. It says, the person who says they have no sin deceives themselves. But it says this, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today, as we stand before this table, we do so not as perfect people. Maybe there's things you've heard or seen or done that you go, man, I shouldn't have done that. Then you turn it over to God right now. And here's what I know. There's not one of us that will get to heaven except by the grace of God represented in this table. Not one of us perfect. I don't know. Sometimes I wish that God just gave me some kind of Teflon or spiritual cocoon that I wasn't impacted by any negative forces. But you know, the Bible says, here's your cocoon. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we want to remind ourselves of his love for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to this table now, Lord, we were created and we're excited about how we're created and all the feelings and all the expressions that we have, body, soul, and spirit. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made, but Lord, we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. So, Lord, we thank you for this table that reminds us that you came for us. You came to rescue us. Lord, help us then in our lives to be committed to you and you alone. In Christ's name we pray this, amen. And Jesus said, let us do this in remembrance of him. I often wonder, with our old nature and things that we desire, would it be simpler if the Lord just kind of cut all that out of us, if this, where we were just like a bit of a spiritual zombie of some kind? My own sense is this, is that what he wants us to do is to learn to rely upon him. He's got our back. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's make sure that in our lives that we do not take that lightly, right? Well, I can just sin because he forgave me. Well, that's a slap in the face. So if there's things in your life as you hold on to this cup that you realize, Lord, I need to give over to you, then do it even now. You know, make yourself right with him. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the power in the blood of Christ. As a reminder for each one of us here that we would be lost without the grace of Christ, stuck in this world that's so tempting and so alluring. I want to assure you, as you walk with the Lord and you cry out to him, he will help you. You're not left on your own. He will help you, and the body of Christ is there to help each one of us. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Let me encourage you on the way out. There'll be a special offering for those who come to our church and those who are needing some financial assistance or a little help. Let me encourage you to give as unto the Lord. You can always put resources like that in the little box in the back, and that's also, we'll check that out. Because people come all the time. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "Our God is an awesome God." Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our Heavenly Father, help us to live holy lives. And Father, we pray as you've called us to pray, to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Have a great day. God bless you.